Are you ready to get educated and thrilled and fascinated? Get ready for the very best 30 minutes of technology talk on Ghana Radio. Get ready for City Trends. My name is Philippa Sean, and on the show today, we conclude our conversation with Ethel Kofi and find out some of the issues that technology lobbyists in Ghana should prioritize.
I think that that's the first low-hanging fruit. If we fix that, we go to the next, we go to the next level. Let's not make, you know, more money is a thing we can do amazing things with. Let's not do nothing with it, you know?
We sit and speak with Eric Osiakwan to get further clarification on his King's concept on the next global technology powerhouses.
Africa is competing in the technical space, not resources. So there are countries that are leading by resources, right? But resources, you know, will not make us very competitive, of course, because you've got to add value. So I really think that the African rising narrative is a tech rising narrative. And the biggest example of that is that Freshfield does a study. They looked at 40 TMT, technology, media and technology companies, across 11 stock markets in Africa, and concluded that over the decade, if you invested, you had 19% annualized returns, which is higher than the Africa index average of 11% and oil and gas, which is 6%.
Mauli Chikata is also live as we talk about some of the trending technology stories you may have missed over the past week on the trending segment of the show. Awo Apalu will also be here with the app segment of the show as she brings you some really intriguing mobile applications to keep you productive. Many thanks to all of you for your contributions so far. Special mentions, of course, go out to Alex Teki, Nana Akusia-Kunedu and Mr. Blavo, all on Twitter, for your love for the show. You, however, can also get in touch with the show via CityFM's Twitter and Facebook pages using the hashtag CityTrends. Message me on my personal handle at Kofi Ashon if you want to get in touch. Now, last week, we started off a very interesting chat with Ethel Kofi, who is the CEO of Edel Technology Consulting and founder of Women in Tech Africa, about technology lobby groups in Ghana. She raised a number of points about how technology companies and lobby groups must be able to point out how much technology contributes to the nation's economic growth, among others. She left us wanting more, for me at least. Now, in this concluding discussion with Ethel, I started off by asking her which specific areas tech lobby groups must focus on in Ghana.
One of the big things is that if I want to sell a product or a service, I can quickly have my team, you know, put the service online and, you know, clients in the UK or the US can just quickly purchase the service and get work done. I cannot do the same thing in Ghana. Right. So I'll give you a typical example. So we've been thinking a lot about how technology helps bring thought leadership to business executives and professional executives, and how we can use technology and new media to help, you know, design their brands and things like that. It's easy for us to put the service up and have somebody in London just buy the service and we do it for them. In Ghana, We can't because it's too expensive for somebody to buy online. It costs them probably 6 to 7% more for them to buy online, right? Never mind that how many people actually have the cards to buy online.
Which is another conversation.
When I go to a shop to buy something and I use my ATM, I get charged 5 Ghana cedis every time I use my ATM. If I'm buying Wudin for my mother on Mother's Day, yeah, it's 5 cedis. If I go to an ATM and if I'm with this bank and I go to another bank's ATM, I'm charged a percentage. All that makes a cashless economy impossible. because it's expensive in Ghana to sell online, to buy online, and to transact cashlessly. That's a problem. That is something I believe that's a topic that almost everyone in the industry cares about, and that's something that we should look into. We have the added advantage of being a mobile, right?
Mobile first
and content. Mobile first and friendly.
Touting it everywhere we
and,
go.
Exactly, and touting it everywhere we go. But the mobile, the percentage of people on mobile money is less than 20% of those who actually have mobile phones. Right? So we have an option. We're not taking the option. We're not growing the option. And we're stuck with taking cash payments. Right? So that, for me, that's a first thing. If there was a lobby group, the first thing that we should be looking at, talking to government about how, and Bank of Ghana, how are we structuring the cost. So Ego tickets, for instance, which is a ticketing coming out of Ghana, because of their added cost in doing online payments, if you buy a ticket of Ego tickets, there's an added cost there because they have the cost from the online payment. It's not feasible. We're not going to grow this way. So that's the big thing, right? That's a big thing. I think that's payments. That's a conversation that needs to be had. That's a problem that needs to be solved. Otherwise, we're not going to go anywhere.
There's going to be one stagnant long road. We're going to be stuck in the middle.
And we can't compete globally. It just doesn't. If you're in Ghana, so I'm lucky where we're also in London, which means that we can, once we have either, if it's PayPal or Visa payments, it goes into the UK account. If you're in Ghana, you're screwed. Right? You're in Ghana, it's just not possible.
Whereas in another sense or in another space, you would actually think that we'll go mobile money first, which will then make it easier for transactions to happen, because then, you know, you have the local expertise and you have the local technology to actually support it. Why is it so difficult for us to buy into the gospel of mobile money?
So I have a take on this. Okay. I feel like when M-Pesa happened in Kenya, it was very much about serving the underserved and reaching an inclusive and banking and inclusivity. And those are great and wonderful things. Translated into this market, and I realize there are two things. One, if you have a mobile money wallet, there are very few places to spend it. So there is no ecosystem, right? There is no ecosystem around it where I can walk into Fiesta Royal Hotel and I have no cash, but I can pay with my mobile money, right? There is no ecosystem for the money to go around and be spent. So it becomes very much about, I'm sending money to somebody in the village, they take it out. It might as well have been an ATM, right? They take it out. So we are not growing an ecosystem that ensures that somebody will make the effort. The second part is the barrier to entry. So about 2 years ago, I spent my Sunday doing very interesting research. So I walked into a Tigo Cash office, and I said, I want mobile money. And then I documented the process and how long it took me. And then I went into the MTN and did the same thing. And then looked at their charges and looked at the different innovations that they provide. And literally, and wrote a paper on the differences between MTN and Tigo. And how they can be, you know, how easy it is. The barrier to entry is really high. I have to go to an agent's shop. Now, if you've been anywhere in the world, you use PayPal, you sit in your house and you go online and you fill out some details, you put in your bank account, and they say, okay, we'll send some money to your bank account. When you receive it, just input it so that we know it's your account, and that's it. You're set. And after that, you can take a piece of code, put that PayPal on your website, and start to take payments. Literally, within 20 to 30 minutes, you can have a PayPal account and you can start taking payments. With mobile money, barrier to entry is too high. I might as well just take my ATM card to an ATM and take money out, right? I have to take the money out, go to the mobile money place, put it in the wallet, and then you have nowhere to spend it. It's just, come on. It's just, no, we're not setting up the industry to grow or to thrive. There,
we're almost setting it up to fail.
Yes, not everybody has. So Vodafone, MTN, Tigo, everybody has mobile money, right? Some are doing better than others. Others are putting a lot more effort. Like things around, like Tigo is doing micro insurance. I think that's amazing. But it's the way where it's coming straight out of your balance or whatever it is. So that's great and that's innovative. But overall, the underserved market here is for middle income Ghanaians who want to be able to go to a bar, buy a beer, and transfer the money. And they don't want to have to go and look for an ATM like I was looking for this morning, look for an ATM to find money to pay for anything. I think that's the first low hanging fruit. If we fix that, we go to the next, we go to the next level. Let's not make, you know, mobile money is a thing we can do amazing things with. Let's not do nothing with it, you know?
Limit its reach.
Yes.
Right.
Listeners, you are still listening to City Trends on 97.3 City FM. My name is Philip Ashon. I'm here with Ethel Kofi, and we're talking about a myriad of issues having to do with the tech community in Ghana. Apart from payments, are there any other issues that, in your honest opinion, you think that tech lobby groups, if we are able to get to the point of actually having one, should be looking at talking to government about it and actually pursuing government on making some drastic changes?
So conversations about e-government, right? Conversations, I mean, I think I was watching TV yesterday, and things with sort of online, applying for your passport online and things like that. The government needs to talk to us about how, one, government needs to use local companies to build those platforms, but that's another conversation for another day. But two, the government really needs to work with us in really looking at ways in which we can automate the different government services. Now, I've got to say, and people disagree with me on this, but I've got to say DVLA has done a good job with the automation. I think even the passport office is automated, but there are a few things that need to happen. So beginning of the year, I needed to get my passport done. And for 3 months, I was stuck in Ghana because, you know, my passport couldn't get done. And I realized, you know, once when I got it back, I realized really something simple as being able to get a text on even where your passport is in the process, that alone would have cut down the footfall to the passport office by 50%. Because you go in the morning, there's a whole host of people coming in and out because they don't know, they've had their passport there a month and they don't know where it is. And sometimes the data, and there's a problem with it, they couldn't do the data entry. So your passport is sitting there 3 months. And if you could just text and get a response, say, you know,
this is
where it is. At least you can go and have intelligent conversations about, you know, how to progress. So we've got little bits of automation, but I also feel like it's not, I'm going to use your word, it's not standardized. So what is the framework around e-government in Ghana, right? How do we make sure that data from immigration to passport to Ghana Health Service to all those things are linked, right? So that's a conversation that needs to be had, and that's something we need to lobby and talk to government about. How we need to sit down and define how e-government looks like, not how techie does it, not how US does it, how it works relevant to Ghana.
As always, very engaging and very insightful. Ethel Kofi, she's a CEO of Edel Technology Consulting and founder of Women in Tech Africa. More from her before the close of the year. You're still listening to the number one technology talk show on Ghana Radio. It's City Trends, and my name is Philip Ashon. Coming up now is Awo Apalu with the app segment of the show.
Hello, everyone. It feels so good to be coming your way once again this week with some apps to get you busy on your phones. Well, for this week, Office Lens is our first app for today. It is an app for the iPhone, Android, and Windows Phone. It turns a smartphone into a scanner that connects to Microsoft Office suite of productivity tools. The app takes the phone's camera and offers three modes: photo, document, and whiteboard. The photo mode just takes an image, but the app's real magic is inside the other two options. The document camera automatically detects the edges of a sheet of paper and scans in only that area. It runs an optical character recognition against the text to make it searchable. The whiteboard camera is designed to capture text written on a whiteboard by detecting the edges of the board. That is pretty useful for meetings and things like that. The app, once again, is Office Lens. Our second app for the day also has to do with photography. We all know that Instagram popularized filters as the main mobile editing tool, and most people use it to improve their pictures. This leads me to a second app for today called Snapseed, S-N-A-P-S-E-E-D, Snapseed. The free iOS and Android app lets you tune standard features like brightness, contrast, and saturation, but also has powerful editing features like a dodge and burn brush, intelligent selective edits, and a host of tunable filters. To edit your image, you don't have to mess around with sliders or dials. Instead, you're presented with an almost full screen view of your image, and you just drag your finger left or right to apply the edit. To choose the type of edit you want to make, just swipe up or down. The good thing is that Snapseed's edits are non-destructive, which means you can always go back and edit them even after making further changes. Our final app for today is Truecaller, T-R-U-E-C-A-L-L-E-R, Truecaller. This is a call blocking app. This app brings with it a network of users on iPhone, Android, and iOS. This means that you can tap into a rich phone contact list of more than 150 million users globally, so that when people with strange numbers call, you will know who they are. Some of the updates to the app include more advanced blocking features, auto-populated Truecaller info in your call history. The updated app now also shows the network and location data. So go and check it out or update the one you already have to enjoy the new features. That will be all for today's edition of the app segment on City Trends. My name is Awo Apalu, and the apps I brought to you are Truecaller, Snapseed, and Office Lens. I will see you all next week.
Well, many thanks for that. The apps she brought you once again for this week are Truecaller, Snapseed, and Office Lens. Download them, try them, and let us know what you make of them. Now, last week, we heard from a panel of speakers who are speaking at the Africa Technology Summit about investing in African technology solutions. And one of the most striking opinions were from Eric Osiakwan, who is also a managing partner at Chanzo Capital. He put forward the King's concept and had everyone buzzing with excitement. This week, we sit down with him one-on-one and talk more about the concept and also about Africa's technology ecosystem and the prospects therein.
Okay, so if you take a look at the 20th century, Asia emerged as the continent for Asia. And with the emergence of Asia came the concept Asian Tigers, which is used to describe the highly free and liberalized economies of Asia, which was Hong Kong, Singapore, Malaysia, Thailand, and South Korea. The 21st century has been tagged as the African century. And I actually submit that the African rising narrative is underpinned by an African tech rising narrative. In other words, Africa's rise in the 21st century is going to be dependent on technology. Africa is competing in the technical space, not resources. So there are countries that are leading by resources, right? But resources, you know, will not make us very competitive, of course, because you got to add value. So I really think that the African rising narrative is a tech rising narrative. And the biggest example of that is that Freshfields did a study. They looked at 40 TMT, technology, media and technology companies, across 11 stock markets in Africa. and concluded that over the decade, if you invested, you had 19% annualized returns, which is higher than the Africa Index average of 11% and oil and gas, which is 6%. This is striking, which means that in the last decade, if you invested in tech, you actually made much more returns than oil and gas and resources, right? And this is the decade where Africa just connected to the rest of the world, mobile, leapfrogging, broadband, submarine cables. And now we're not getting into the digital era where we're not beginning to create our own technology, which is much more immense. Right? So I actually argue that Africa's emergence to the 21st century is going to be based on technology, and mobile money is the best example of we just leapfrogging with creativity, right? And getting right ahead of the world. And I think we're going to see how this disruption happens in other markets. And so I said there are five countries that are really leading this revolution. And this is not exclusive of the other market, but it's just the guys leading. And so I came up with a concept called the African Kings. And, you know, king in African means leader, right? And so these are the leaders. And these kings are leading Africa's digital economy's emergence. And they are Kenya, Ivory Coast, Nigeria, Ghana, and South Africa. Kenya represents East Africa, Ivory Coast, Nigeria, Ghana represents West Africa, and South Africa represents Southern Africa. And so this covers the sub-Saharan African continent. And so these are the countries that are leading. It means that in those sub-regions of the world, also the other countries which are equally growing, coming up, you know. So it's not to say that these countries are really exclusive, but they are the leading lights of the technological system. But there are certain things that are striking about the Keynes concept. So one is that you see that it's heavily ING, Ivory Coast, Nigeria, Ghana, and Ivory Coast, Nigeria, and Ghana. Those three are West African. And it's very interesting because actually if you take those three countries, you get almost the population of the United States, but half the landmass size of the United States. So that tells you that this West African, these three countries, and if you throw in Togo and Benin, you could actually get a very substantial market that is over a very close, neat landmass, right? And so that's really striking. And then you take Ivory Coast over there, which is the Francophone country, representing the Francophone world, which is really about half of Africa. And unfortunately, we as the Anglophones don't pay a lot of attention to the Francophone countries, and I think that's really an important thing to pay attention to. And actually, if you take Ivory Coast, Ivory Coast has a striking relationship as a sophisticated economy to Kenya. In 2007-2008, the Kenyan economy faced election crisis, things stalled back. Within 4 years, Kenya had recovered, now growing at 5.7%. Ivory Coast was in the same situation in 2010. Today, Ivory Coast is growing at 8.7%. Actually, Ivory Coast may be the fastest growing economy right now. And so you need a sophisticated economy for technology to emerge. So I actually argue that Ivory Coast is going to be a very strong nexus for technology innovation in the next few years. And so if you follow the Keynes countries, I actually argue that the technology innovation started in South Africa in 1995 with Mark Shuttleworth starting TWART and starting into VeriSign. And it moved to Ghana, where Mark Davies and myself and a couple started Busy Internet. And then now it's in Kenya, where iHub is starting to stand. There's a lot of activity going on there. And it's only going to hand over to Nigeria, and then it's going to get to Ivory Coast. So that's really the striking part of the Keynes countries, that these are the countries that are really leading Africa's digital economy. And actually, the Harvard Business Review's latest edition, in which they did a study and looked at where is the digital economy emerging fastest, three of those countries were in there. It was Kenya, Nigeria, and South Africa.
Interesting. For you, which of these regions is the most interesting in terms of the development of the technology space within the continent?
So, if you look at the King concept, it's I think that it's eventually going to be West Africa. And as I said, Ivory Coast, Nigeria, and Ghana are both West African, and they constitute a very striking market, which is very close-knit, right? It's the closest knit, because if you remember, Africa is so huge that you can fit about three other continents to Africa. But suddenly you have a part of Africa that is so close-knit, right? So that's a really striking market that we need to really pay attention to.
You also talk about how they are so well connected,
right?
As well, I mean,
so for example, if you take Ghana, it's 45-minute flight to Lagos. It's a daily, I mean, like it's, I think it's a minimum of 3 days, three flights a day now to Lagos. So I can actually go to Lagos, and if I want to go to Lagos, I'm going to airport, get on a plane, and Ivory Coast becoming the same, right? To go to Togo is almost the same, and Benin, right? So these countries are getting much more neater, much more easier to get into and out of.
Now, considering the language barrier and the language issue, for example, you have rightly talked about, you know, Ivory Coast and the Francophone and how they can give sort of the rest of the African continent access into that whole Francophone conversation. But then we know that the language barrier is a problem.
Yeah.
How is tech going to be the barrier breaker, you know, for us to get into that market?
Maybe not. Because I think that it's important to also understand that text dwells within a cultural context.
True.
And I don't want to say tech could solve every problem, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
But maybe tech could help mm-hmm. and could be the bridge through which the Anglo-Francophone relationship is strengthened.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say that there's no relationship, because I think there's a fair amount of business between, because if you take West Africa, for example, I mean, it's predominantly Francophone. It's only mm-hmm. four countries that are Anglophone, mm-hmm. right? And so if you look at the whole ECOWAS integration, it's a lot of Anglophone, Francophone, right? And the Evers are spread across both the Anglophone and Francophone mm-hmm. borders, though I just found out that we're actually descendants of the Yoruba, so we're in Nigeria. So it's really interesting to mm-hmm. find this sort of cultural antecedents and heritage that is very, very powerful.
Right.
And I think technology is going to dwell within that
it needs to grow from
that
from
within that,
that.
And so to a very large extent, I think then, as I'm seeing, the Francophones are getting more open-minded. So, for example, you see more Francophones coming to Ghana to learn English and to get integrated.
Mm.
And we're seeing more Ghanaians going to Nigeria or going to Ivory Coast to sort of learn French and get more integrated. And that's very important. That's very powerful.
Mm.
And I think that technology will be a driver and an enabler to make that more faster or make it happen better.
You know, people talk about how investors are looking for certain specifics.
Yeah.
Investors are not looking to nurture. Do you feel that this is very pertinent on the continent especially?
It is. And also to a very large extent, I think that there are different businesses at different stages
mm.
and different entrepreneurs have different needs
mm.
and different investors have different interests.
Mm.
Right. So what we are trying to do is actually bring a colossus of all these other interests. And we believe that if you bring all this into a room, you could actually create a pollination, right? So there's a possibility that this entrepreneur I'm looking for, actually this idea is interesting. Oh yeah, this is the kind of investor that I want, right?
Sort of one
exactly
one.
That I'm looking for.
That was Eric Osiakwan. Always engaging conversation with him. Lots to learn. You're still listening to your number one technology talk show on Ghana Radio, City Trends, and my name is Philippa Sean. Maoli Chikata is up now with a trending segment of the show.
Hello there, it's another week of technology trends, and you are welcome to the trending segment on City Trends with me, Maoli Chikata. We start off with some bad news for Apple, and it appears that some people are stealing the Apple Pencil accessory that launched alongside the iPad Pro in some Apple stores across the US and UK. The pencil, which costs $99 or £79, can be used to draw on the 12.9-inch iPad Pro. The thing is that in order to successfully demonstrate the capabilities of the pencil, the device is often unplugged and not connected to any security alarms like you will have on other devices. This means that anyone could pick it up and, as some have done, steal it. Money is great. How to get it, however, is the tricky thing. But then if you are a health and fitness addict, then there's a new way of making some cash. A digital currency has been launched that is generated by human movement. Bitwalking dollars will be earned by walking, unlike other digital currencies such as bitcoins that are mined by computers. A phone application counts and verifies users' steps, with walkers earning approximately one bitwalking dollar for about 10,000 steps. That's about 5 miles. According to a document prepared by the New York District Attorney's Office, older versions of Android can easily be remotely reset by Google if compelled by a court order, allowing investigators to easily view the contents of a device. According to the Android Developer Dashboard, that means that 7.1% of devices are still using a version of Android that can be easily remotely accessed at any time. iPhone users fare a little better. Any device using iOS 8 or higher can't have its passcode bypassed by Apple. U.S. computer company Dell Incorporated says a security hole exists in some of its recently shipped laptops that could make it easy for hackers to access users' private data. A pre-installed program on some newly purchased Dell laptops that can only be removed manually by consumers makes them vulnerable to cyber intrusions that may allow hackers to read encrypted messages and redirect browser traffic. Dell has declined to say how many computers or which specific models are affected. The software began getting installed on laptops in August. The company also said future systems will not contain the bug. Finally, we all know that breaking up is hard to do. It gets even harder when you stumble across an old post involving you and a former loved one in happier times. Well, the world's biggest social network has just announced that it is trying new tools to make it less painful when handling a relationship that has gone sour. Right now, if you decide you don't want to be reminded of a certain someone's existence on planet Earth, you will need to unfriend or block them. The problem is that they will most likely find out you've done that. That is not cool. But with Facebook's new breakup tool, you can alter what an ex can see, but without them knowing you've done anything. That should be interesting, I tell you. That will be all for today's edition of Trending on City Trends with me, Mauli Chikata. If there are any interesting news stories you may have missed, tell us about it. Use the hashtag CityTrends. Get in touch with me on my personal Twitter handle at Mauli Chikata. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Many thanks, Mauli, for those updates. And well, listeners, that will be all for today's show. I do hope you enjoy the conversations we brought you. Many thanks to Ethel Kofi and Eric Osiakwan for their invaluable insight. Thank you to all of you who tuned in tonight to enjoy this show. Thank you if you learned something and you tweeted as well. Many thanks to Mauli and Awo for their contributions as well. That will be all for today's show. Don't miss the podcast on City FM's website. But remember, my name is Philippa Sean. Until next week, stay techie.